Blog Talk Radio.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it not? Not compared to how people matter.
Should have played some Christmas music, Big Dog, but I didn't have any available. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of, without the 1 second delay, of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Money Money Quarterbacks on Saturday.
Monday and Thursday.
Good morning, everyone, and it is the day after Christmas, and oh my goodness, is it festive and Christmassy even here at NPB Radio. The Big Dog shows up with his Angels Division winners, a t-shirt, beautiful gray t-shirt, and he has his Lakers Santa cap. So we're going to refer to this one as the Big Dog cap because it shows the Lakers in Christmassy colors, and it looks like the mouth is working, isn't there, Big Dog?
Yep.
Okay, be very careful when shaking your head in that manner, dude. Just be very careful, please. But hey,
all my Julie ball system.
Move around. Oh, you be careful waving your ball around there, dude. But hey, it's all good. I'm terribly excited. Today is the day after Christmas. This is, nearing the end of our second Christmas season on the air. Terribly exciting. And today is the day of Christmas gifts, present giving, and all that good stuff. We ain't giving any other than as stories being told. I want to remind everyone, if you guys want to give us a call, the number is
347-637-2306 or...
You may always email us at radio@noriega.biz. And yes, don't forget to register at blogtalkradio.com. Take on a persona and be someone. And engage us in the interactive chat room. I couldn't say it in the manner that I always could because it's just not conducive to the environment that we're in right now.
Is that because you're in your pajamas?
That's because I'm in my pajamas.
You're nice and comfortable. And also, I want to wish everybody post Merry Christmas. I hope you guys all had a great Christmas, Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. Here over here in Lakerland, we didn't have that great of a Christmas, but hey, you know, that's the way it goes. Can't have it all the time, so no problem.
And speaking of Lakerland, oh my goodness, it was 102-87 thrashing at the hands.
It wasn't that close.
No, it was not, was it? 102-87. The foul when Kobe was driving should have been called. I wanted to say, kind of sucks when you're not at home and you don't get your Christmas present, huh, Kobe? But hey, it is what it is. I don't know. You know what? Hey, whatever. The Lakers had their moment, a failure. So what? Go on. Good night. The Cavaliers may beat them in a game. The bench came alive, outscored the entire Laker team. What was it? In the second quarter, they rushed out 16 to something. That was the bench. They outscored them.
Yeah, and then we came back and got it down to 9 just before the half closed out. The only problem was, you know, yes, it was bad officiating, but you know what? That's part of the game. That's part of the NBA. That's part of sports.
And that's part of baseball, part of
football. That's part
I don't know
everything.
If it's part of football anymore.
But, you know, you got to roll with that.
Everything being a do-over.
You got to roll with that. You know, if you're a professional, you've gone through this before in the high school ranks, college ranks, and, of course, in professional ranks. You have bad officiating every so often. And
the college fields where you and I played, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you just have to roll with that because you know what? What made it worse is the fact, of course, the Lakers had a bad game. Now, if they would have had a bad game with decent officiating or officiating that was pretty much even where the calls were even, maybe they would have had a chance. But you know what? That's just the way it goes. Roll with it. Quit crying. Kobe has a very bad problem. When he doesn't get the calls that he wants, he starts complaining more and more. Now, scorekeeper can attest to this. The more you complain, the less you're going to get a call. The refs turn a deaf ear. They turn a blind eye. And you're pretty much thrown to the floor. As in the fourth quarter, when Kobe was angry, he went in blew past five guys were taking him. All five guys took a shot at him. No call was made. On the very next play down court, LeBron went racing down. Shannon Brown, I think, sneezed at him, and they called a foul. You know, but that's just the way it goes. You know, that's the way the game was going. And the more you complain, the less you're going to get the calls, as we saw. And Coach Jackson at the start of the fourth quarter, I don't know if you saw that, scorekeeper, they always interview the coach, you know, they asked Coach Jackson how he thought the game was going. And he said that he was not going to comment because if he makes the same comment he made last year, he might get another $25,000 fine. But his only comment was, you see how it's out there, because I don't have to say anything about it because I don't want to get fined again, which, of course, he was attesting to the bad calls that the ref were making. But he knew that's the way it goes. They had to fight through it, but they were having a bad game. That's all there is to it. The one thing I did want to mention is to you idiot people that were out there throwing things on the court, you know what?
I'm sorry. Even
the fact that they were just foam fingers that were given out as gifts, the fact is, you know, had it been something else, the fact that you guys were able to do that also made that one person that threw the full water bottles onto the court that could have hit someone, water could have spilled, they could have missed it, someone could have tore up a knee, and it could have been a Laker. Idiot fans like that, we don't need. And, you know, guys, come on. You were at a great Christmas game, whether the Lakers won or lost. I mean, it would have been great if they won, of course. But, hey, you were there for Christmas. You spent hundreds of dollars. Some people spent thousands of dollars.
And almost hundreds of thousands.
You know, for you to be stupid enough to throw something on the court and get kicked out of the game, possibly flying and possibly banned from the Staples Center, because they do that. You know, but I guess the stupid mentality of some people, you know, what everyone follows, the gang mentality.
It's definitely a gang mentality, especially right there, even though they call it South Park. It is what it is. I mean, think about it. That's where it is, South Park. That's where Staples is, not part of downtown Elliott. I use that term loosely. I agree with you, Big Dog. I did not know they threw that water bottle, and I thought you were referring to another incident some years ago with the very same guy. That's on the team now.
Well, as soon as they threw the water bottle, I was like, oh, no, we're going to run a test.
That's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. The Laker fans, this goes for you. This is from the Big Dog. Actually, this is from the scorekeeper. Okay, we'll stop it right there. It's about to count. Let's try this one.
Are you always an ass, or is today a special occasion?
That's the one.
I think today was a special occasion. Yesterday was a special occasion.
And now the Lakers are probably not going to give anything out for Christmas Day, only because of that. But actually, sometimes it is the responsibility of management. Like, look, you know that calendar night that at every baseball game?
Mm-hmm.
They don't give the calendars till you're leaving. Because when they give the calendars when you're there, it's a game to see who can get the airplane on the field.
I gotta admit,
it's got the attention of everyone. And the guy that gets to the mound or closest to a player gets a standing O. I mean, come on. And they're stupid. They are stupid. You've got to, you know. Hey, I'm not covering for him, Big Dog.
No, I understand.
But it is distressing. The Lakers lost. I woke up to it. I was watching quite a bit of the game. But, hey, it is what it is. And already, Big Dog, we have a caller from the 609 area code, and I want to go straight to them now. Caller, don't forget, there's a one-second delay. And remember, let us know who you are
where you hail from.
And where you hail from, because you are live with Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Money Money Quarterbacks on Saturday. Merry Christmas, caller. How are you?
Yo, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning in the house. 13-2, man. Got some questions for my Sunday Night Football for the championship. Can I get some expert advice from two gentlemen? Happy holidays, Feliz Navidad.
Happy holidays, man. Feliz Navidad. You want some expert advice? I don't know, man.
Well, yeah, I figure we're only going to laugh on Saturday before Sunday, you know what I mean? No. Hey, what I want to do is get some nodding some heads here. A couple questions quick. And my both links in the championship. The first one is I got Peyton Manning, I got Brett Favre. The guy I'm playing, he took second in the league, I took first. It's 525 for first, 225 for second. So he played Favre yesterday, he got 22.5 points, 264 yards, two touchdowns. Do you think I can duplicate that with Manning tomorrow based on what he's going against with the Jets and maybe his playing time? They're not saying how much playing time he's going to have or whatever. Just want to get a little bit of feedback from you guys on what you think might be the right thing to do quarterback-wise, first question.
Okay, all right, I appreciate that. Now, who's your other quarterback on your team?
I got Favre, And I can also pick up Alex Smith. You're only allowed to carry two quarterbacks. So, yeah, I'm trying to listen to what is being said on different things. And there's not a lot being said whether Manning's going to play a full game, three quarters, depending if they're up or whatever, you know, half a game. I don't know. Same with Favre. They could get up and then maybe take him out too. They're not sure on that either. So that's why I wanted to get a little advice as to maybe insight or inside information as to what you think maybe may be the correct thing to do quarterback-wise.
I think with Favre, I don't think he's going to play very much, whether the game is close or a blowout. I think they're going to try and rest him as much as possible to get ready for the playoffs. So I probably wouldn't pick Favre. So I don't think he's going to play very much. I think he might play like maybe a quarter and a half or so, and I think they'll take him out. As far as Manning's concerned, I think if the game is close, they're going to go for it. They're going to keep them in there. They're going to try for that 16-0. So, you know, even though they're trying to make very little of it, I think that means a lot to them right now. So I think if the game is close, Manning will play a lot of minutes, and I think he'll rack up the numbers.
Yeah, especially when you know what's going on with Childress and Favre now. Childress is the boss. He's trying to reestablish it, not that he has to. But I agree with the big dog that your better chances with Manning – because they're 15-0.
Yeah.
They're going for it. And
they say they're not. They say it's not a big thing then, but I think that I think that's a smoke screen. I think it is. I think it means a lot to go 16-0, as only two other teams have ever done that.
Yeah. So
I don't trust Alex Smith. I mean, Alex Smith got a nice matchup with Detroit, and he may do well. But again, there's a situation with San Fran. Hey, are they going to establish a run this week? Because they can run against Detroit. They can pass against Detroit. They might do a combination of both there. And like I said, both Manning and Favre have gotten me there. Hey, you know, I didn't play Favre until it might have been week 8, whatever Manning's bye week was. And then week 11, 12, and 13, I played Favre, who outproduced those 3 weeks, Manning. And week 14 and 15, my first 2 weeks of playoffs, I went with Manning. So I've been fortunate to be able to use both. I like how Manning's playing now. I guess if you're going to lose or win, you might as well have Manning. Why try to second-guess yourself with an Alex Smith or whatever like that on there? But my other question is, I am going with Thomas Jones. D'Angelo Williams having the AR because he probably won't play. My question here is standard league. I do have Fast Freddie Jackson, who I've been using, and I do have Ahmad Bradshaw, and I did pick up Michael Bush. I am hearing Fargus may be out, and if Fargus happens to be out against the Cleveland team, it would be Michael Bush and, say, McFadden. Is Michael Bush a better play out of the three, standard league? I'm looking for somebody that may give me a touchdown, maybe 80 yards, 70 yards, 100 yards, something like that, in the standard league. Which one of those three backs to complement Thomas Jones would you agree with?
Well, okay, Bush, I would have to say that he's going to get you the yardage. He's not going to get anywhere close to 100. I would agree with that figure, 70 yards. He might luck out and score one. I don't see him doing that. If he breaks one early, yeah, you know, he will get a touchdown. But I think he's going to give you the yardage, and that's what I would actually go with. I don't see him doing 100. The scorekeeper says he's going to be in the 60 to 70 range. And on that alone, you know, I'm not sure what the point differential is in your league, but my choice would be Bush.
Yeah, point for every 10 yards. Like Fast Freddy been giving me like 9.7, 11 points because it's been on yardage when I've been doing Freddie Jackson because I haven't really played D'Angelo Williams the last probably 3 or 4 weeks because of being hurt and matchups. And Fast Freddie has outperformed him that way. And then, like I said, I just picked up Ahmad Bradshaw this past week and then I dropped Moats and Arian Nason Foster and I picked up Bradshaw and I picked up, Michael Bush because, they're saying Bush maybe might get a touchdown and there, but Jackson hasn't scored yet. He's been getting maybe 90 yards, you know, 115 yards, 100 yards or whatever, splitting carries with Marshawn Lynch, so I wanted to get your feedback. And you know, Brasso had a great game last week, but, you know, Carolina's defense is a little bit different and can play good, can play bad, does play better at home. So, again, you also got Jacobs there, but it seems like smash and dash seem to be doing good with the dash, you know? So that's why I want to get your opinion on those three there, you know what I mean? All right.
And, you know what? Go ahead.
I have one last question in the PPR. I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was my fault.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, in the PPR, I am going with Maurice Jones-Drew. Currently, right now, I'm down 47 points. The gentleman I'm playing already played Jackson, V. Jackson, and got 12, and he got 35 from Chris Johnson. You get 10 points, you get a point for 10 yards, you get over 100 yards, you get an extra 5 bonus points, but you get 10-point rushing touchdown here. So I got Maurice Jones-Drew as my starter. I got to pick one of the three. I got Snelling, who could be a good option if Turner's out. But I also got Stewart, if D'Angelo Williams is out. And they said maybe Sutton might be out, so he could be the primary back. But the problem is they're playing at the Meadowlands, and the Giants' defense last week did not look bad, or was Washington just that bad? I mean, with Giants, you never know what you're going to get at home. Their defense is much tougher at home than on the road, kind of like the Eagles. So it's either I go with Ganther, who I don't really like this week, Snelling, or Jonathan Stewart. And I am down right now. I have all my guys. I have 8. He's got 6 left. I'm down 47 to nothing. He's got 35 from, like I said, from Johnson, Chris Johnson, and he's got 12 points from his receiver, V-Jack from San Diego.
Yeah, you know what? That really is a tough one. Only because Snelling, he would be my first choice, period. But yeah, you know what? That is a tough one.
Yeah, figure between Snelling and Stewart. But man, it is a tough call because who's going to get the goal line? Well, you know, Stewart's going to probably get all the carries, but will he get in the end zone against them? Which they're saying they have given up touchdowns quite a bit to Giants, but they are playing good at home. And then the quarterback's going to play a little bit better with Steve Smith. But then you got the situation, like you said, with Atlanta going against Buffalo's defense. He's playing a little bit better than maybe ranked 30th or 28 or whatever. And you got Norwood maybe factoring in a little bit. But how's Snelling going to do if Turner's out? It's a tough one. That's why I wanted to see what you guys might think of that, you know?
You know, and that one is a tough question. And knowing the points, dude, we're not qualified for that one. We're not going to blow it for you.
If it was your team and you were just going to throw it out, I mean, like I said, I look at all the things that I talk to and try to look at everything, and then I'll read, like, Sunday morning, you know, to see if these guys are still out and so forth like that and look into it. But if it was your team and you're down 47 points, you're just trying to get the maximum out of your, you know, you want a guy that's going to score a touchdown at least, especially in a league where you get 10 points for a rushing touchdown. So which one maybe has a chance to give you 100 yards and a touchdown? You know what I mean? Who do you think may have the best
pop? Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, sorry about that. Mine would be the hottest hand. Whoever's playing the hottest right now, that would, in my gut, that's who I would go with.
And that's tough to figure. Well, I mean, Stewart actually had a good game last week, but he hasn't. But the following week it was D'Angelo Williams, and then he got hot again. It seems to be when D'Angelo's out, Stewart does produce. You know what I mean? And Snelling, I don't know. He's got a nice matchup, but you know, you don't know. So do you think? I mean, ranking wise, we're in a CBS league. They have Stewart maybe in one or two notches higher than Snelling, so this is very close that way there. So you think Stewart would be the better back versus Snelling if it was your team?
D'Angelo's out.
Right, yeah. If D'Angelo's out.
And he's listed as doubtful already.
Yeah, he is listed as doubtful. Yes, it would be. Like I said, I would go with the hottest hand. That would be my guy. If all things were equal, yes. That's who I would go with.
All right, so if D'Angelo's out and all things being equal and Turner's out, Stewart over Snowden. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It does help a little bit. I mean, I have Stewart in the lineup now. I'm just trying to get, you know, it's one of them things there where, hey, you roll the dice, you're down some points, you're just trying to put the maximum guy in there. At least we're having obligation or opportunity to know what this guy got last night so I can prepare for Sunday. So I guess I'm lucky that way. But it's just a matter of, you know, picking the right person. Hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully I win both leagues. I appreciate your guys' time. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And thanks again, guys. Appreciate the feedback. Helps a little bit. And enjoy your weekend.
Appreciate it, man. You too. You take it easy. And we'll be talking to you soon. Hey, by the way, have you listened to Paul Greco's and Lenny Melnick's show on Sunday morning?
Some guys love me, man. I'm Jersey and a half, man. I deal with them guys every week. I talk to Tony Sincotta. The boys love me.
Yep.
They know I'm known as Jersey in the House from Jersey. And I talk to them at 10 o'clock. And, yeah, you know, there's some things we go over together, and they give me little feedback stuff. I talk to the Couch Potato from time to time. And Taz, I talk with from once in a while. Taz actually said to go with Area Nation Foster last week, and Taz was pretty good. I stayed away from that only because my Buddha don't let me down too much, my gut feeling. and I'm saying to myself, what if that nut Kubiak decides to sit Area Nation Foster a few fumbles? And in both leagues, I picked them up when I was going to start them, and I did not, and I thank God I didn't. You know, the Buddha sometimes don't let me down. It's when I go against the Buddha, then it then my gut feeling kicks me in the rear. But, yeah, those guys have been very good. They give me some good in-depth analysis of things that I don't know about matchups from previous years and blah, 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 this and that. So it does help. But, yeah, those guys are very good. And, yes, that is for somebody who doesn't know what you recommended, is a great recommendation because those guys do give you some extra insight there, and it gives you a couple more heads and thoughts as to maybe who to use and why, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they guided me last year, and they've been doing me this year, guided me this year. So, again, yeah, thank you very much. I will talk to them in the morning, and if you guys are still playing, best of luck to you this weekend, and have a nice holiday.
Thanks.
You too.
You too, man. Take it easy.
Take care. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, guys. Well, there it is. We already got the fantasy football question that we were expecting to tell you guys. It can get rough. We can, we get these experts that call us, and then we end up getting screwed. And we're just desperately holding on. But we, in desperation, did choose a Kentucky winner.
That's our pin the thing right now.
Damn. Yeah.
And then we just had $20 to put down on it.
Yeah, that is so true. Had we had that, we would have made a huge. Actually, we would have been able to pay some of our co-hosts had we done that. Maybe I should do that more often, especially when we head over to Vegas. Don't forget, guys, we're going to be in Las Vegas on January 30th. Don't know the exact location yet, but just like the way we are in the sports program, everything happens at the last minute. So it's all good in the hood. Don't forget, we're going to be taking some stories as to what's been going on at Christmas. I was going to ask Jersey Man what his opinion is. Or if he had a story to tell us, but I didn't get to that, and I do apologize for that. But anyway, it's all good. Big Dog, do you have any more basketball for us right now?
Yeah, we're going to go over the basketball scores. It was a very, very light schedule yesterday. There were only five games. It started off, Miami beat New York, 93-87. Boston beat Orlando, 86-77. Cleveland, of course, beat the Lakers, 102-87. The Clippers lost to Phoenix. Phoenix was at home. 124-93, and Denver lost to Portland, 107-96. Now, in that Boston game, there was a little bit of a scare as with about 2 minutes left in the game, Kevin Garnett took a fall and landed on his back, left the game, did not come back. He says he's fine, but, you know, the last year or so that he's had some injuries, they kind of linger with him a little bit now as being a little bit older, but he says he's fine, says no problem, he'll probably wake up a little sore, but he doesn't expect to miss any time. So there were a lot of great games, five games, a lot of games on last yesterday, and the Orlando Magic head coach, Stan Van Gundy, had some problems with that, saying that there should be no more Christmas games, that people should be, that the players and coaches and all the others should be with their families on Christmas Day. So he does not want any more Christmas games. He says that it shouldn't be. Did I grab the wrong coffee cup there, storekeeper? I figured you'd get the Federation one with the Federation seal on there. I'm being given a bad look. Are you going to pout the rest of the show?
Yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Oh, hell yeah. Look, I have some great coffee cups, and I always give him the Delta Shield because that's the one that represents the Starfleet. But when it comes to everything else, this is really the feel of Starfleet. But my cup is the Voyager cup, Star Trek Voyager. That's the one where I actually got to visit the sets of. But I digress. I do that too much in this program. And I digress, period.
What do you feel about Sam and Yandy saying that they should be getting rid of Christmas games?
Why? Hey, look, I hate this word, but let me tell you, Stan Van Gundy, you are an effing retard because you are one of those, you are a Monday morning, maybe I should be very careful with that. You're an armchair historian that just because you hold a position and you the fouling comes out of your mouth, generally it means something. No, it does not. Stop destroying tradition. I don't care if there's a basketball game on Ash Wednesday. I don't care if there's one on Christmas Day. The point is it's all about tradition. That's what's most important to me. If they play Christmas, then that's the way it should remain. Like they need to be with their families with all the freaking millions of dollars they get every day the holiday, you retard! Oh, my God. Sorry,
okay,
my God.
Okay, that's just fine. No problem.
They should continue to play on Christmas Day.
Okay.
And who plays on Christmas Day? The Lakers, right?
The Lakers.
That's it.
Lakers from Boston. Well, this year he's complaining because...
There were a lot of games.
Well, there are a lot of games, and also the Atlanta Magic have played... This year will play on Thanksgiving, which already happened. They're playing Christmas Day, and they're also playing New Year. So...
Okay.
There's a little bit of validity there. That one's good.
But on Christmas... No!
You know,
whoever plays Thanksgiving should not play on Christmas and should not play on New Year.
Yeah, I agree. Or play two of the three, somewhere in there.
This isn't retail, pal. It's not retail where you get
two out of three.
You get three holidays. You get New Year's Eve, you get Christmas, and Thanksgiving, right? Which two of the three are you going to work? I always worked New Year's and Thanksgiving, I guess it was. I don't know what it was, but... Oh, no, I always work Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I always got New Year's off. Like, I'm not a drunk! But whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, I can see what he's saying this year because, you know, they are playing all three games. But, oh, well, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I want to welcome guest 171 in the chat room. Don't know how long you've been in there, and I do apologize if the frowning went through the speakers. But, yes, it's all about tradition. They should continue playing Christmas, and the schedule people should be paying attention that each team should have two of the 3 days off. But hey, it is what it is. And want to welcome Solomon Walters into the chat room. Good morning. You are the man, and it is all good. And there it is yet again. So hold on. I'm going to do this in the order that it happened. So bear with me. This is for our man, Solomon. Well, Merry Christmas, by the way. Look at that rock song in the morning. That's for you, Saul. And the man, the myth, who's just joined us. It's going to happen right now.
Where else on the internet sports world do you get a song dedicated to you? Only here on Sports Talk with the Guys as we welcome the men. The ones who know it all, and especially Lenny Melnick! He is the one who knows baseball. He is the godfather of rotisserie sports. He was on the air before any of us were ever born, much less thought about.
Oh,
he is the one that has always been there. He is still the man because he is Lenny Melnick! He is our Superman.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. I just love that music, baby. I just love the music. It's all good. Oh, my goodness.
We'll finish off with basketball after those wonderful introductions.
You're going to take off my birthday. Oh, what? Is Christmas Day your birthday? I love that line from Die Hard, guys. Remember at the very beginning of the movie that Ellis, that guy with the beard or whatever, he's a real big jerk or whatever. And not a jerk over there. And then, you know, McClane's wife says, don't mind Ellis. He gets depressed this time of year because he thought he was God's gift of the world.
All right. And there he is, ESPN 1420 himself, Tony Sincotta. Good morning, guys. We're ready to have the stories. Your best moment in sports, whether you were there, whether you called it, whether you saw it, whether you played it. We are excited to have you guys on with us. It is going to be great, guys. You can call whenever you want. I already told my diehard story. You guys all know the story of when I stole home, too. One of the most embarrassing moments of my life. I stole home. The ump called me safe. I'm going to have to find it where I told it. I'll have to tell it another day, but that's not going to be it. Guys, I was there on Easter Sunday at Dodger Stadium when, what the hell? What's the guy's name? Well, no, I was there. That wasn't on Easter Sunday. That was on June 29th, 1990, when Fernando Valenzuela threw the no-hitter against the St. Louis Cardinals. I saw that. I got the ticket right there, baby. But I was there in 1998, I believe, when Raul Mondesi hit the two-run blast in the bottom of the 10th.
What? ESPN 1420 says the best sportswoman in his life is waking up one Saturday morning and he was dreaming of Jennifer Aniston laying next to him and Roger Noriega's voice in the background.
Oh, my God. I mean, dare I say I love you? First of all, I'm in that dream with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, your voice is still there.
That's the story of my life.
Well, I'm just hoping that when she spoke, it wasn't her voice.
Oh, that's no good. But that is one of my thrills. I was there for this. I was there. That is one of my greatest sports moments. One of the men I admire in real life, Tony Cincotta. Oh my God, was having it out with Jennifer Aniston, and I was there in the background. Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah, you just made my day. Life couldn't be sweeter, guys. Oh, it's great. I love his quote on Facebook. Yeah, we are like a Rice Krispies treat. That was sweet. That was great. Rice Krispies treat. Okay, we're getting a little too much here. I apologize. But anyway, there's a lot of sports moments. We're looking forward to hearing some of the stories. I know the big dog's got a few of them at my expense, which I really don't want to hear about them right now. I was there for Fernando's no-hitter. I was also there in the 1984 season. For those of you that remember in baseball, guys, that was the year of the bean ball. That was the year that they were all beating each other, and the National League was having it out, and then in the American League, they finally had their own beanball version, and I was there, the Yankees versus the Angels. Oh, my goodness. Ron Romanek was on the mound against Ray Fontenot of the Yankees. Romanek was the Angel. Fontenot was for the Yankees. That was a great run. Yogi Berra had started the season and was fired because that's just what they do. With the Yankees, but it was baseball. It was the American League version of the beanball. It all started with Romanek getting a bit frustrated, and he beaned Bobby Meacham. The ball went flying up into the air. Oh, man, I was up on the third deck, and I almost caught it. And benches cleared, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, I would get a little emotional, whatever, and then the very next thing, I got to admit it, Ray Fontenot came up, threw the pitch, threw it deep and far inside, missed Juan Benitez. I wish he would have nailed that mother effer. I hated Juan Benitez. I don't know how he made it to the majors before Nancy was playing, whatever, don't care. It is what it is. And benches cleared, and the American League had their own version of baseball. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was a great game. The Yankees did win 5-3 anyway, but who cares? Who's counting? That was the American League version of the beanball. Absolutely phenomenal. It was great. Scogniers was ejected. I think Romanek was ejected, and Fontenot was also ejected. And it got nasty because Romanek beamed Bobby Meacham in the head, in the helmet, and it just went flying. And that's why it got a little nasty. But, hey, it is what it is. Yankees won. Who cares? There it is. Romanek, Fontenot, 5-3 Yankees. Lots of balls being thrown all around. What's the matter, big dog?
Nothing.
Hey, it is what it is, yeah. Guys, don't forget, the number is
347-637-2306. Or
you can always email us at radio@noriega.biz. Hey.
Must be that 1 second delay.
I better check that email right now and see if anyone bothers to email us. So, Big Dog, why don't you go ahead and continue, please, if you have any more basketball stuff right now?
Yeah, there's a few notes here. Tyson Chandler is going to be off at least for a week. He's got a stress fracture in his left foot. He had an MRI that revealed the injury on Wednesday. Chandler left the game on Tuesday's victory against the Pistons in the second half. The injury is in his fourth metatarsal, and that's the bone that supports the toe second to from the outside of the foot. An X-ray revealed, of course, no fracture, so they treated it as a sprain, but as it continued to hurt him, they did the MRI, and that's when they noticed what was wrong. Also, on a side little note here, Memphis is saying that with Iverson gone, we are now on a winning track because they are now acting like a team. I knew you would love that one.
I love it. And that is all in honor of Wonder Woman. Go ahead, continue there.
When Iverson left, when Iverson left Memphis because the experiment blew up in Memphis, his face, it looked like Rivia started another lottery countdown. But 5 weeks later, they're playing their best basketball in years. The Grizzlies are 12-7 since their woeful 1-8 start. Now, for some say it's not great, but hey, for the Grizzlies, that's a damn good. They've also beat Dallas, Cleveland, and Denver during that time. So he said that when Iverson was there, that they were never able to build any camaraderie. And then when he came back, they had to deal with all the problems that they were having with him. So the fact that he left made them come together as a team. So this may have been one of the best things to happen for the Grizzlies, was to get rid of Allen Iverson, which he's been a problem before. And, of course, on a side note, much as the scorekeeper giving me that look, much as the scorekeeper hates this.
You can go to hell now.
Iverson is now in second place, so he is right now the starting point guard on the East All-Star team.
You know what? Philly fans are taking out their angst and they're taking it out on NBA basketball by voting him in because they lost the World Series. It is what it is. You know what? I think that stupid shortstop from the Phillies said, "We taking it in five," however he said it. I think, you know, now they're trying to make up for his stupid prognostication. Yeah. What a moron. We're taking it in five.
Well, rounding out the All-Star voting, at this moment, in the East, it is Allen Iverson alongside with Dwayne Wade. Vince Carter has dropped from second to third, so he right now is out of it. The rest of the lineup includes, of course, LeBron James and Garnett, Kevin Garnett at forwards, and Howard at center. The West consists, of course, Kobe Bryant, who is the leading vote-getter right now at, I believe, a little over 1.5 million votes. Steve Nash in the backcourt, Carmelo Anthony and Dirk Nowitzki at forward, and Amari Stoudemire in the middle at this moment. Of course, things could change. I do not believe Allen Iverson should be in the All-Star game, but, you know, if the fans vote him in as a starter, fine. If he does not make it as a starter, I don't think he should go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why professional sports don't give a shit about their fans, really. All they want them to do is punch that ticket, punch that credit card, and show up to a game because they don't really give a shit about the fans because the fans themselves are not worth giving a shit over. Think about it. Allen Iverson, he's coming back, and he's now running in second place for most votes, right?
Well, not most votes, for starting.
For starting. So how pathetic is that? It's just going to show you how bad Philly is with the loss of the World Series.
Or how popular he is.
He is not popular. And going back to your comment about how this thing blew up in their face, it didn't blow up in their face, big dog. It just goes to show that this team had faith in the player, still believed that the guy had talent, but this little malcontent, this little malinger, this little pathetic man that I'm taller than is not a team player. He's not a team player. He is worthless. So talented, but it's all about me, me, me. Screw him. He's worthless. And, you know, there you go. There you go. It didn't blow up in the Memphis Grizzlies' face. Not that I'm trying. They spent some money on a guy that they felt could still play. And he didn't want to play for them. This is Eric Dickerson all over again. I feel that my money is not worth it on my contract, so I don't have the drive to continue to play. Go to hell, you moron. You're getting paid huge sums of money. He didn't want to go to a losing team, and he got out of it, and his old team came up to suck his little whatever and take him on over. Go ahead, big dog. I know you want to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, you've been given the go-ahead because Lenny agrees with you.
Yeah. Yes. He is. It's sad.
No, it's absolutely true. But the popularity of him, the reason why I was saying he was popular, I mean, it's like I said, he probably is what all the thugs look up to. That play basketball.
Oh, you're talking dirty to me this morning.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, he has that attitude.
I'm a little worried because I'm still my PJ.
But hopefully, you know, the people are going to see or realize that the true fans will realize and he'll lose his second place stature right now and hopefully fall down.
And it certainly isn't Stan Van Gundy saying that there shouldn't be any games on Christmas Day. Moron, bring your brother back. Oh, you know what? No, forget it. Your brother actually has a damn good job right now. Getting paid some good money, too.
I like his brother better as a coach, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Timing is everything, and when you get your fat ass up later, guess what? You get the second job, and there he is. And then Gundy has a job that he has. But you know what? He has a job. He's a head coach in the NBA. Never believe your agreement. I believe that's what it is. Because NBC, they'll say Jay Leno has never believed your contract. Well, hey, guys, NBC might not be around for very long, so, hey, get over it. But nevertheless, he is anyway.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they may prefer Ennis's voice. I do appreciate that, but whatever. Hey, guys, here we go. We might have our first story. Don't forget, let us know who you are, where you hail from. And we are bringing you on from the 480 area code because you are live with Sports Talk with the Guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Merry
Good morning,
Christmas,
gentlemen.
Caller.
It is the couch potato.
Good morning, couch potato. What is up?
I am sorry. I have not been able to get in and hear what you're talking about. I am traveling right now, and this week's been kind of crazy. We are, our family's going to relocate from Texas to Arizona. So we've been over this holiday, you know, having the holiday, plus looking for a house in Arizona, and we're going to relocate out. So we haven't been on all week, but I wanted to get on and see how things were doing and listen to the show a little bit before you guys kick out. But I forgot about the time zone. You guys are almost done for the day. So how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Merry Christmas, couch. But no, we actually have about an hour and 20 minutes still.
Oh, very good. Okay, I'm messed up on the time zones here. So
yes, you are.
But I wanted to get in and let folks know we are not going to be on. I'm actually after we're going to go close our house deal, and then we're going to hop up on the freeways of this great United States and go back to Texas and start packing up to come to Arizona, some business opportunities that brought me over here. So I just thought I'd let you know that we're not on air right after you guys today.
Sonny, what size mansion did you get? Did you get like a 14,000 foot mansion?
Well, we're going to keep our other house in Texas. This is just a relocate. Business purposes have demanded us to be in Arizona more so than Texas. But we love the house up in Texas that we're not going to get rid of it. 2,200 square feet, I think, is where we're going into. It's a little bit smaller than what we're used to, but it's like the biggest one around in the area where we wanted to live. So got to keep it on one story, too. I'm not too keen on upstairs, downstairs homes. But take away from that, things are looking good, and we're going to be on air next week on the regular Tuesday, Thursday shows, and then, of course, next Saturday. I think it's New Year's Day. Are you guys going to be on New Year's Day?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, we're on.
Well, what part of Arizona are there, Sonny?
It's going to be in Queen Creek, which I think I mentioned to you before. We used to live out there in Queen Creek. It's just about maybe 20 miles south of Mesa, and nice area. It's a new development area out there, so everything's new, which is always a plus, and a good school system out there for the kids. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank most definitely congratulations. I do want to tell you one thing, that 2,200 square foot figure, that's the size of my backyard, so congratulations.
Oh. Well, I understand. Houses are a little bit smaller in Texas or in California in certain areas, right?
Well, actually, I kid. I the big dog and I have lived on big properties in the past, but you know things change. And
yeah.
I lived on a property that was a 200 by 50 the entire yard. So that was really good size. I think the big dog still has one that big. Yeah, we don't have any dogs, so go figure. So, are you going over there permanently to Arizona?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to Arizona permanently now?
Yes, that's what we live in Texas. We're going to permanently move. We're going to keep our Texas office, which is the house, and have some people do some work out of Texas there, in our home for us. Just keep things going, you know, the way they're going. And business has actually been good for us, so we're gonna try to make Arizona be as successful as Texas was. But I thought I'd give you a call, let you know what's going on and how things are going.
Well, again, I do appreciate that things are going well. We're looking forward to being told some of the stories and sports. Maybe we can drag one out of you right now. But since you're on with us, I want your take on the Childress and Favre situation, because my comment is very simple. Childress runs the offense. Well, as a matter of fact, I think he runs the team. So Favre needs to remember that he is but one player on the team. The Vikings need him, but Favre cannot win without him either. That's my humble opinion. That's my handwritten note. And I don't know what your opinion is.
Well, I'm kind of torn, because Brett Favre is Brett Favre, you know, and he's earned the right to question coaches. I think that part is pretty well figured out. But if a coach wants to pull Brett Favre, he does have to, and this is just the coach's personal opinion, he is not the coach of that football team. If the coach wants to sit him down, the reason, and they're not talking about the real reason why they were sitting him down, the offensive line on that game, they were playing really horrible. They were getting beaten. They were worried about him getting beat up. In reality, they were only up 7-6 at the time they wanted to do this. But they seen that they were getting beat up. They didn't want him to get beat up. Something was wrong with that offensive line. I haven't figured out what it was. So they were like, no, we're going to go ahead and pull you and put someone else in there. They'd rather kill Tavares Jackson more so than Brett Favre going into the playoffs. And that's where I think I've seen it. And Brett Favre said, no, can I stay in? He just refused to come out. And to me, there's something wrong with that. There's a coach and there are players for a reason. And if the coach says, bring your ass out, you bring your ass out. Brett Favre is who he is, yes. But at the same time, I don't think he has any – what he's doing is he's setting examples for other kids, and is saying, well, no, I don't want to come out. I don't have to come out. I'm Brett Favre. And it's an ego thing of who it is. And that bothers me. On the other hand, Brett Favre is probably their best chance of winning that football game. I think Brad Childress was just trying to protect him. In the long run, I don't think I like the idea of Brett Favre saying, no, I'm not coming out of the game after the coach says you need to come out. He wasn't benching him on purpose. He wasn't benching him to hurt his ego or anything. He's trying to protect him because his performance in that game, and we'll see what happens this week, but that game and the game before hasn't been you know what we've seen in the first 10 to 11 games this season. So same things when he was with the Jets. He kind of started going on that down slope a little bit. So I don't like that. Now, on another thing, I'm happy to see the San Diego Chargers go ahead and wrap up that second spot and get the first round bye from that game last night. They showed that they're going to be a hard team to beat in the AFC, the San Diego Chargers.
Well, it's interesting that you put it in there, and we have Saul in the chat room. Maybe he'll give us a call right now. That's a hint, Saul, phone. We also know the Chargers beat the Titans 43-17. Vince Young only had 89 yards passing. You know, give me a break. Johnson had 21 rushes for 142 yards, and he's now, if I'm not mistaken, 128 yards short of 4,000, I believe, to only join like five or six guys. He scored a touchdown, but they were eliminated. I mean, unbelievable. These guys started 0-6, and they're wow. I mean, they have a chance of finishing at 500. I hope they do. I don't know who they're playing next week, but I know Saul will tell us in the chat room. But, right. You know, Philip Rivers, yeah. Even though on that one play he was over the line, and this is what I dislike about football. You know, you break the plane, or as long as you get the ball to touch that stupid little pylon, I mean, it's baloney. Phillip Rivers was over the line on that great reception to Antonio Gates, which was really, it was a beautiful play. But there was a reason why he was open, because he was over the line. But hey, yeah. Okay. It's just one play. You know, it doesn't matter. He won of 27 for 254 yards, and he threw it for two touchdowns. He now has two consecutive seasons of over 4,000 passing yards, and he joined Dan Fouts of the same Chargers to have thrown over 4,000 passing yards consecutively. Fouts did it 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And Rivers now does. You know what? I think Rivers has now hit the level of a quarter, you know, a real, real, real quarterback. This guy is good. But the big dog is his head.
You bet, and a franchise quarterback that they can depend on for the next 5 to 6 years. I think that's probably more valuable than what's going on. Let's say they don't win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl. This team is going to be in the contention for the playoffs and the Super Bowl for the next 5 years with him being there. Now, on another hand, Vince Young should be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Take away what the stats didn't show about last night. Vince Young's got some confidence right now. And I think that's going to bode very well for him. If he's not going to play for Tennessee next year, he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I like what I saw out of him last night. Even though the numbers don't really show it, he's making some bad decisions right now. But the other times when he's playing really well, if he can get the mistakes figured out, then he should be okay. I like what's going on with them.
Oh, God, Sonny, I disagree with you 100%. I don't see anything in Vince Young. The big dog is dying over here because I was too busy doing an obscene gesture here.
Yeah, and the eye rolls that I've seen in Las Vegas, I bet.
Oh, no, you actually did see my eye rolls. That's why the big dog dies laughing. No, there were no eye rolls right now. This was an obscene gesture that went on for about a few seconds. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I apologize.
One set of eyes compared to another, so, you know.
And I'm going to enjoy having this conversation with you for a while now, but I really don't know what people see in Vince Young. But, you know, Sonny, I respect your opinion. You do your homework because you are the hardest working man in sports, and there's no doubt about it. You really do know your stuff, and I respect you. But, you know, Sonny, and I want to spend some time talking about this. I really don't know what people see in Vince Young. Granted, he is a starting quarterback, and he has made it to the NFL. But, I mean, seriously, what has he truly done? But, hey, we will get to that.
As far as the background, I don't think he's a great quarterback. But what I will tell you is they did get him, too. So, That's what I see, and I don't think he's like in superstar status. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to start for an NFL team next year, whether it be the Titans or another football team. He's definitely not on elite status, but he's an adequate quarterback that can help a football team.
I agree with that, and we will continue this conversation because, to tell the truth, I mean, when you think about it, I would actually take Vince, as much as I dislike Vince Young, I would take him over Romo any day of the week.
Okay, gentlemen, I've got to go. I've got some business to take care of. I just wanted to get a call in and see how you guys were doing. I'll be in touch throughout the week, and I'll join you on Tuesday when you're on at Tuesday at 10 o'clock my time, which is, I think, 8 o'clock your time, isn't it, or is it 7?
Yeah, we'll be on NDV Radio that night because we're on Monday night.
No, Tuesday nights. Oh, yeah, I got that. I got you stuck in Tuesday because I'm on the air on Tuesday. All right, Tuesday night, what time are you on?
Well, on NDB Radio, we're on at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Arizona time, or 9 o'clock Central time.
Got it.
Yeah, that's on Tuesday. That's NDB Radio or NDB Media. But sports is Monday night, 10 o'clock your time, 8 o'clock Pacific.
Good. Rock and roll.
All right,
I'll
take a text message.
I look forward to talking to you then.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Here we go.
Take care.
All right. So thank you. You too, man. We'll see you very shortly, especially now that he's in Arizona. I think we'll see him a lot sooner. But, hey, I want to go over a little bit more of the football news. As a matter of fact, following up, I am predicting that the Titans will finish 8-8 because they are playing, and I use that term loosely, they are playing the Seattle Seahawks next week. So not the Momo, not the Buddha. Not anything, but the scorekeeper sees some love raining down on the Tennessee Titans because they are a good team. They were fighting the injury bug early on. You know, they could have, with a bit of luck, been in the playoffs. I mean, those six losses, they weren't blowouts. There was one or two that they were in on it, and it just happened that they lost. It's a better team. But, it happens and it's done. So the scorekeeper is going out on a limb and will decide his prognosticating future by choosing the Tennessee Titans or the Seattle Seahawks. So, whatever.
Someone will win.
Someone will win, as I say.
Someone likes to say.
if you guys have been paying attention on the Thursday night show, I always go out on a limb, especially when the Raiders are involved. I mean, someone will win that game. don't sell it all. So, hey, as you all know, the Cowboys are actually winning in December. But again, Romo is still the quarterback, and the NFL is still playing regular season games. The Cowboys are in line for the playoffs, but again, unlike baseball teams that actually make the playoffs and run into a tough opponent and get beat, Boston, the Angels, whatever, the Dodgers, the Cowboys run into the playoffs and always lose. Cowboy fans, remember, Romo is your boy, and that is like when the Yankees had Andy Hawkins as their ace back in 1989. Good old Andy did have a no-hitter that year and a loss. He only pitched 8 innings, he walked everyone, and he got the loss. But he threw a no-hitter. Nevertheless, what is better? I got to ask you this, Big Dog. What is better?
Sure.
The Cowboys winning a playoff game without T.O. or the Cowboys lose?
Well,
that is a tough one.
I don't like the Cowboys, so the Cowboys, of course, losing would be my better bet. But as we've always said, you know, Tony Romo will not be considered or will not be moved up into an elite status until he can win the big one. And I don't see that happening. I don't think he has it in him.
Time out. He actually did want the big one because he hit
the
big one.
Well, yeah.
And he was scoring on the big one.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking on the field. He might have done it on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a game, he has yet to prove himself. You know, yes, he's a great regular season quarterback, but you know what? That doesn't give you
Whoa. Time out. What the hell? What did you just say? He is a blank regular season quarterback?
He's a good regular season quarterback.
Great. Oh, my God. Oh, this is where the English language fails us, or our public education system fails us. I'm sorry, Big Dog. That might be a direct attack, and I apologize. But how the hell can you use great? I mean, A-Rod is a great. Oh, God. How the hell am I? Okay, fine. I'm going with it. A-Rod is all God during the regular season.
Yes, and until this year, finally proves himself.
Yes, but my opinion,
yeah,
what I'm trying to say is he truly is great. What the hell has Romo done even during the regular season other than get his team to the playoffs? Granted, he's done a hell of a lot more than I ever had because when I was quarterback on my senior team in our PE program, I was like, I don't know, I think I won a football game. And I was a quarterback, Mr. Flip-Flop. You guys remember some of the Raiders? Yeah, that was me as quarterback. Could I flop them? But, hey, at least I scored a few touchdowns, so that's neither here nor there. Guys, we're approaching our second hour. We're finishing up with the first. I gotta tell you, this is the music that I wanted to start the first. I hope you guys enjoyed because I need a quick little break. We're gonna go in the second hour. We're gonna start telling stories. So if you guys have some stories to tell us, you let us know. Big Dog, do you have anything else that you wanted to get to real quick?
No, we'll get to the music in a bit.
All right, we're gonna take a quick little 1 minute break. I hope you guys enjoy the music because this is how I wanted to start the program. Didn't get a chance to do it, but now I am. And if you guys can tell me where it's from, you win the prize of the day, which is, I don't know,
our thing.
I should have gotten the music. It's obviously from a movie.
No.
Now, if that doesn't tell you what it's from, guys. It's a great movie. It was on my Facebook page. I terribly enjoyed it. I died laughing all day yesterday. That was a movie, 1941. You didn't know. It's just absolutely awesome.
You give me the answer.
It's like they're going to figure it out. They're sports fans. What the hell do they know? Sorry, Lenny. Anyway, we're going into our second hour now, guys. We're starting up. If you guys want to give us a call, by all means, give us a call. We're going to be taking some stories. Big Dog, do you have any that you want to share with us now? Because it's Tarzan when Gene grabbed the wrong vine. There was a lot of screaming because it was the end credits to the movie, 1941. A terribly good movie. It holds up terribly well. I mean, it is just a great, great, fun movie. I want to welcome Stevie Bone live in the chat room. So, guys, we're going to start the stories. If you guys have any moments, your best moment in sports, this is it. Give us a call. We'd love to hear it. Saul, I know you're still waiting for your greatest sports moment, but hey, it is all good. I'll take any sports moment. Big Dog, what is the best moment you ever had in sports? And I know you have several. We'll start off. Was it the day that I predicted the Lakers' victory?
That was one of them.
Really?
But probably the best ones are at the tie for the best one, which was 1987 and 1988 World Championships when the Lakers won. I was actually at those games. And you've been to playoff games and regular games. There's just something special about going to the game and being there with, you know, for me, 17,505, because that's what the Fabulous Forum held. You know, there's something there with 17,500 fans that you don't get when you're there sitting, you know, in front of a television set. You know, yes, you're excited and, you know, a little more comfortable, but you know what? There's something there, you know, and I was there for when they won the championship in game 6 in 1987 and game 7 against the Pistons in 1988, you know, that's probably one of the best games ever with James Worthy, you know, goes diving, you know, in the fourth quarter to get that ball that's going out of bounds, and he leaves his feet, and he's totally, completely horizontal, kicking the ball in, inbounds for the dunk. You know, it was just a great game, great series, and one of only 17,505 people that can say they were there.
I appreciate it, Big Story. I know that one because I've seen that in the highlights. I saw quite a bit of that game, but I didn't see all of it. That was when I was still working late at night, so I didn't get a chance to see all of them. We hadn't even met just yet because we met in early 1988, but
yeah.
Hey, it's all good. I want to take a digress real quick. I want to welcome Stevie Bone live again to Blog Talk Radio. He had his first show yesterday on Christmas. And I believe he's going to be on tomorrow. I don't know if it's his regular programming, but he's going to be on tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern, 9 o'clock a.m. Check it out, guys. I already sent you a friend invite, Stevie, so say yes, and all is good in the hood. If you have any other information, let us know. If you guys want to give us a call, Big Dog, what is the number?
The number is 347-637-2306.
And as a matter of fact, we have our first caller, and we're going to get to it. So we had our first story, and now we are going to the one who is, and I love playing this for him because he truly is our Superman. And he is live with us, the man who is the man among men, Lenny Melnick!
My fellow Americans, good morning.
Good morning, Lenny. Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday to you and everybody else on Blog Talk Radio. Because today you pose an interesting question. You pose something that I can respond to from the bottom of my heart. It's really true, though. And I may have talked about this before. I think that the greatest sports moment that I've ever had, and the greatest sports event that I've ever seen, was on the radio. And I may have talked about this before, and that was the heavyweight championship of the world, 1959. I was 12 years old. And Floyd Patterson was the heavyweight champion of the world in an era that absolutely heavyweight champion meant something. It was like the president, it's like waking up to a new president if the heavyweight champion was defeated. And Patterson was a very beloved guy. You know, he was soft-spoken, very, you know, well-liked, not a big guy, about 185 pounds. And he was fighting Ingemar Johansson from Europe. And it was a big deal to lose the heavyweight title to a European or anybody from outside of this country, as evidenced by the Max Schmeling, Joe Louis situation years before that. And I listened to that on the radio. The broadcaster was Les Kiter. Now, I have two outstanding moments with the same event. Listening to it as a 12-year-old and being mesmerized. I mean mesmerized. My father was there. It was at Yankee Stadium or the Polo Grounds. I forget which one. And it was just, you know, it was like listening to Rocky on the radio. I'm not gonna go into the details of the fight other than I'd say half of the people in this country were crying that night. Because, of course, Floyd Patterson lost as he went down six times in the third round. With Les Kiter doing the play-by-play, at that point I knew I wanted to become a broadcaster of some sort. Of course, you know, my plans were deferred. But now it took me 30 years to get a tape of that fight, and I got it. 30 years of searching everywhere. I've got the tape of the Floyd Patterson Ingemar Johansson fights, which were two, I think. And in addition to that, last year I was able to convert them to MP3, and I sent one to Les Kiter. I had found Les Kiter when I was doing MLB Radio. I brought him on the show as a result of the fact that he was the first one when the Giants moved to San Francisco. He recreated the games back to New York with the very famous, there's a base hit to right field. And I spoke to Les Kiter, had him on the air. I sent him just recently, and I spoke to his wife. I sent him the tape, spoke to his wife and his kids. They were touched by the fact that I had the tape, and he never received the credit he deserved. And then months later, he passed away. So going back to 1959, when I was absolutely mesmerized, I followed this man wherever he went. He is absolutely my idol, not Mickey Mantle, not, you know, any one of those guys, but Les Kiter. And when I got him the tape, again, I cried again when I found out he had passed away. At least I was able to show him that he had a fan forever. And that's my sports memory.
Wow, Lenny, wow. Got me, man. That is absolutely awesome. Thank you. That's one from you, Lenny. And I got to tell you, in a way, the passing 2 days ago of the gentleman from the Sports Machine.
No, right. George Michael.
George Michael.
George Michael, right.
Yeah, that one got me off guard as I listened on Facebook. Right. I told everyone, I found out from my compatriot, Albert Berrigan. He was a classmate of mine, and he posted it. That one took me because I grew up with him, Lenny, and I admired him because he was so intellectually smart.
Right.
He was funny in such a way that you had to be paying attention to catch it. And I grew up watching him in the evenings with the Sports Machine. It was absolutely great. I never thought I would be doing anything similar to what he was doing. But him passing, it really messed me up last night, Lenny, and I can understand just a little bit.
Absolutely. I had done a lot of radio. I had done live TV where I was on Bruce Beck's show, Chet Kopick's show, and questions were coming in, and I had to answer them. I'm not a big personality. I mean, yeah, come on. But I was not nervous. When I went on those shows at live where I get phone calls and have to answer questions on the spot, when you're on TV, you can't refer to your notes and the whole deal. When I had Les Kiter on my show on MLB, my partner, Irwin Zwilling, came up to me and says, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." I was nervous as heck. But I will tell you, and I will offer this, I'll offer this to your listeners, okay? I have the greatest sporting event ever broadcast, which is the 1959 World Championship fight between Floyd Patterson and Ingemar Johansson, and I can send it to anybody if they want to send me an email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. I have sent it to very many people, and they've all been absolutely flabbergasted. Let's face it, when's the last time you heard boxing on the radio? And just that. done by a broadcaster with more passion than you could ever imagine. It's absolutely rocky on the radio. Les Carter would say things like, Johansson standing over Patterson with his right hand cocked. What's keeping Patterson up? What's keeping him up? His knees are rubbery. Down goes Patterson. Patterson is down right over a microphone. I memorized the whole fight. Right? It's just, if you want it, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. So there you go. I'll be happy to send it to anybody. And I'm only offering it to you guys on the Roger Noriega show. So there you go, kiddo.
Yeah,
you can give me a big hug when I see you out in out in Las Vegas or wherever I'm going to see you, because I'm going to see you this summer.
Yes, most definitely, Lenny. It's either going to be in Las Vegas, maybe even in Portland, don't know. But there is an outside chance we might see you in New York, too, because we are really looking to do some traveling while my girls are still of that age before they leave us, Lenny.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I got a call from my son who has given me the blessing of two grandchildren. And he calls me up a couple of weeks ago and he says, Dad, I got no money for gas. I left my wallet home. I saw that's in Chicago. So you know what I said to him? I'll be right there. So the kids, they never leave. Let me tell you something. Don't be fooled. They never leave. they just slide over to a different location. That's all. So don't worry about them leaving. Okay, kiddo. Great job. Nice going. Happy holidays to everybody.
Lenny, thank you for calling me as always. It's a pleasure because you are Superman, and I know you'll tell us a story of what is the greatest moment you ever called, because he called it, and I was listening live last year when he called the Steelers victory. He was doing this on Blog Talk Radio. Guys, you want to hear, listen to Lenny Melnick show when he's doing the Super Bowl. I was listening to it. Man, I didn't have to watch the game. Lenny, you say you're not a personality. Dude, you really are. You're
Thank
our
you.
Hero because you showed up. When was it? Was it the first day?
Our first show.
You showed up our first program, and you've shared so much with us, Lenny. We
Thank
respect you.
Roger.
We admire you. I mean, who the hell are we to have you on with us, man?
Get out of here. I got more important things to do. I'll speak to you later.
There it is. The great listener. Thanks, buddy. Have a
Thank
great
you,
holiday.
Guys. Happy holidays, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, man. Wow. There it is. I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean,
he doesn't.
No, it most definitely does not. I know I have scared as well. Oh, yes? Oh, I think he was talking to someone else right now. Saul is in the queue. I know if he didn't put his hand up too quick because, I mean, hell, I feel bad interrupting the man when he's on with us. But Saul is on with us. Saul, go ahead. Happy New Christmas and all that other stuff. What, are you waiting for your music?
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you're on! You do this to me all the time! God! Yes, you're on!
Morning, Saul. Merry Christmas.
Not Christmas yet. Got 364 days to go.
Look at what he's doing to me. Oh, you dog. Oh, he knows he drives me crazy. All right, come on, Saul.
You can't pin that on me. You've been crazy since I've known you.
And by the way, I met Solomon Walters on 1 July, summer of 1983, and I blame him for my life ever since.
I feel honored.
Oh, and I am honored to have you on as well. Guys, that's why we do Sports Talk with the Guys. You know what? Sports Talk with the Guys is just great. We get a chance to spend time with you. Hopefully you guys get a chance to spend time with us. We just love this program, guys. If you guys think this program is any good, as I say, it's only because of you who are listening, talking in the chat room, giving us some lip and crap. It keeps us honest. We feed off of it. When we get callers, it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the big dog and I never thought we'd be doing this. Saul never thought we'd be doing this. And here we are, day after Christmas, celebrating our Christmas memories. And Saul, go for it. Share some love with us. What have you got for us in NASCAR? Did you want me to start the music for you there, Saul?
It's all right. I'll live.
Okay, here. I'll give you a few seconds just because we like to do it.
This is a true intro for our man Solomon. We got Solomon.
Favorite drivers. Boy, that Tony Stewart's a whiner. And we got advertisers. Like, let's see, Adelaide Target Charlie. Got a bit of on Depot, Kodak, M&M, UPS, Tidal, Taylor Clint, Kellogg, Viagra, DeWalt, no. Budweiser.
And sports talk with the guys.
But the trophy girl is about my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
Now we have Danica.
And now we have Danica. That's right.
Listen to the Goliath song.
We got calls.
We've got lots of stuff, and we have the irrepressible, the indomitable. We have Solomon Walters. Welcome, Sol.
Oh, am I on?
Damn you.
Sol, you do
that to me all the time.
Oh, my. Yes.
Well, I trust everybody had a happy holiday.
Actually, we did. My daughters yesterday were playing with their Guitar Hero set. They've got the drum set. They're singing. They're doing all that stuff. Time. I did a whole lot of nothing except thank everyone in my life. It was good. I was remembering everyone at all. That's really awesome, dude. I had a good time. I even thought about you too, Sol. And by the way, for all of our friends and family here on Blog Talk Radio, everyone who is our friend, we mentioned you on our Christmas Eve program. Because like I said earlier, without you guys, we're nothing. That's the reality. Because if it's a good program, it's because of you. You're our friend. We always mention you, and we did on a Christmas Eve. And that was you too, Sol. We mentioned you too. So go ahead, Sol. Give us some NASCAR love. What's going on?
Just a few things. They found a replacement for the nationwide race at the Milwaukee Mile. It's going to be held at Road America, which is a 4-mile, 14-turn road course, also in Wisconsin. It's slated for June 19th, the day before Sonoma.
All right.
But there's only been one NASCAR race there held back in the 50s. It was a cup race. But it should be a good race. It could be a little challenging for some of the drivers that have to fly back from one road course to the other, but the ones that are doing double duty. But Road America is an awesome course, and the neat thing about the track is it hasn't changed since they put it in 1950s some odds, and when Roger was young, they haven't changed it one bit. Every bit of it's the same. So a lot of drivers grew up on that track, so it's going to be a real neat race. I'm glad that they chose that, and I'm glad they're keeping it in Wisconsin also. NASCAR, for the second year in a row, changed their eligibility for the NASCAR for the Budweiser Shootout. Last year, if you remember, the field consisted of the top six teams from each manufacturer and a few wild cards. This year, they're going back to more of the format they had before, which is going to include all the Chase qualifiers from 09, former champions, past Shootout champions, past Daytona winners, and the reigning Rookie of the Year. So hopefully they'll keep this format for a while. There's just been a lot of confusion and a lot of hard feelings. People bumped out at the last minute last year, including Ryan Newman. So hopefully they'll keep this format for a little longer. Anybody follow up on on CBS Sportsline?
Yeah, you know, I do my rotisserie stuff over there at CBS Sportsline, but ever since Fantasy Sports 9/11 came on, I dumped CBS. Tell us what's going on right there. What's the news?
Well, I'll put this as nicely as possible, but Pete Pistone is an idiot. He wrote an article about Joe Gibbs Racing and how great they did this year, and how wonderful they are, and how they're going to be a contender next year. What a crock of hooey. Their star driver implodes halfway through the season, throws a hissy fit, fires his crew chief. Pulls off four wins by luck alone. Denny Hamlin, who actually did very well. I'll read right from Pistone's article. Failing in that attempt, Hamlin was one of the strongest drivers in the final 10 races of the year, and without some bad luck and mechanical problems, that's part of the team. Mechanical problems are part of the team. And then he goes on to say how promising Joey Logano is, and Joey Logano didn't do any better at the end of the season than he did at the beginning. So I don't know why he's JGR has him in his pocket, but I look for JGR to slide again in 2010. So just a little commentary. I just read that a few minutes ago and I had a comment on it.
I appreciate that. You know, sometimes whatever these guys come out of left field, I don't know. Look, I don't like to bash other programs, but I think it's appropriate that their name is the Sports Bash, and they are on blogtalkradio.com. They were talking about this one guy that he only 1 year his ERA was under four. Well, actually, it might have been 2 years. They were saying he was a great ball player. I'm like, dude, the guy's worthless. He hasn't done anything for 9 years. Oh, he was with the Dodgers a few years ago. I think they picked him up in 2008. He was with the White Sox and all these other guys. And was on there saying that, oh, well, you know what? He's been a damn good pitcher all his career. His ERA is at 450. And you know, he's worthless. I forget the name of the pitcher. I really was frowning at the mouth in the chat room, and I just tuned them out. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it. I'll have to remember which player that was, but he came to the Dodgers in 2008. And don't know who it was. Don't care. You're worthless. But, you know, some people have an opinion. You know what? Maybe they've got an inside, you know.
Maybe they have an inside source.
Yeah, maybe they have an inside source. They're Saul, and maybe they're getting free tickets or something. And that's
it's
why
probably,
they're.
They're probably just not as big as your inside
source. Hey, shut up, big dog. Yeah, my inside source is very, very big, but we'll leave it at that right now. It's always a size that matters.
That's in your pajamas.
Yeah, that's right. Big dog's making fun of the fact that I'm in my pajamas still, and I'm
comfortable.
Sorry.
You're like that.
Am I.
You're also in your pajamas. Big Dog's the only one that's not in his pajamas. So anyway, don't mean to, you know, I think we just lost the whole audience. We just mentioned we were in our PJs. But when Tony Sincotta came on in the morning and said his greatest sports moment was when he was bopping Jennifer Aniston, when she was laying over him, well, maybe I shouldn't say Tony Sincotta. I apologize. What did Tony Sincotta? It was ESPN 1420 said that he was having a dream with Jennifer Aniston, and I was on in the background. I was the voice. Wow. That was his greatest sports moment. Woo-hoo! I was terribly excited. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent.
Saul,
we need to hear what your greatest sports moment, because I still have one, and it's when I was playing sports. So go ahead, Saul. What's your greatest sports moment?
Well, my greatest sports moment was probably when I was 6 years old. I entered a Mr. Muscle contest at the wading pool at Fremont Park in Glendale, California. and I came in third. My sister came in second, but...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
I'm going to have to go with the, I know it's way overdone, but the Music City Miracle is still one of my favorite plays. It's one I got to watch. Watch when it was happening. It was the AFC wild card playoff game against Buffalo, coached by none other than Wade Phillips. Tennessee was down by 1 point late in the game. There's a lot of controversy over this, but whether it was a lateral or not, but Frank Wycheck, our tight end, lateral to Kevin Dyson, who took it in 70-some-odd yards for a touchdown, which put us ahead. We went on that season to beat the Colts, beat the Jaguars, and then, of course, as everybody knows, we lost to St. Louis in the Super Bowl that year by 1 yard. And who was also Kevin Dyson, the hero, the Music City Miracle, was the one who was stopped at the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. So that play has been probably the most analyzed play in sports history. They've done all sorts of computer garbage to it and whatnot, but it's they did show beyond shadow of a doubt that it was a legal pass by Wycheck, just barely, but it was a legal pass. And the best part about that is you ask Wade Phillips about that, and he still will not talk about it.
Wow! Yeah, no kidding. I've got to tell you, and I guess this would be one of my moments. I mentioned a few of them. I told a story about how I stole home in a Sunday game. I'm not going to get into that one right now because that one, it's funny. I've got to act it out. Maybe I'll do it on video one of these days and I'll put it on YouTube. But I still haven't put my Star Trek video when I was at the Star Trek Experience at Universal City. So go figure. I still have that tape. That was on August 10th, 1990. But anyway, I think one of the most emotional moments would have to be for me is in 1996 when my personal hero, someone who I had a chance to get acknowledged by him, but now his
Thank
career
you.
Is over. But I'm, yes, you too, Saul. I love you, man. It was in 1996. It was a very sad time in my life. There had been a breakup in my family. My parents had gone their separate ways. I know for a lot of you this may not be a big deal, but it was a very lonely time in my life. Just starting out my family, who only had my one daughter at the time. And we were watching the World Series, and this was game four. The Yankees were against the A's. And I'm watching the eighth inning, and I remember this. You know, Mark Wohlers had come in for the Braves, leading 6-3, and there's two outs in the eighth at Atlanta, and there's two runners on, and my wife and I are standing looking at the game, and all of a sudden, because again, she wasn't understanding English, she looked to see who was batting, and I checked to see who it was, and it was Jim Leyritz. And probably more to make myself feel better, Jim Leyritz? Yeah, I feel good. I turned to her and I said, babe, I feel good with this guy at bat right now. Hey, unless you have Babe Ruth or whatever, doesn't matter. Well, you all know the rest is history. Wohlers threw a slider that Leyritz belted out of the park to tie up the game. And all of a sudden the game was 6-6. And the Yankees, as you all know, would win that one an extra inning. And they would go on to win the next two games after that. And it was one of the most emotional moments in my life. I mean, it was truly a miracle happening as far as I was concerned. Because the Yankees have pulled off a lot of late-inning come-from-behind miracles ever since 1995. They were doing it. They were to hit a home run at Yankee Stadium, which Lenny Melnick was probably there at the stadium and saw. But I think the one time that I truly suffocated and was dying was in the 2001 World Series when the Yankees in the bottom of game four, you know, they're losing 4-2.
Santino Martinez comes up against Byung Young Kim and cranks it out to tie the game. I'm like, wow, that was incredible. Uncredible, because it was not incredible. It was uncredible. And then here we go, game five, the very next same situation. Here we go again. They're down 4-2. Byung Young Kim is up to the plate, and Scott Brosh just yanks it out for a two-run blast. I could not breathe. I truly could not breathe after that. That was one of the second most exciting moments of my life, having witnessed it on TV. My greatest moment would have to be being there for Fernando Valenzuela's no-hitter. That was it. That is truly the highlight of my life. My friend Raymond and I were there last minute, and we didn't want to go, but we decided, all right, what the hell, let's go to the game. And we went, and we probably witnessed the greatest game of our lives. And it was terribly amazing. A lot of fun, guys. A lot of fun. So if you guys want to go ahead and give us a call, by all means, let us know your story. Tell us in the chat room. Write an email. This is what it's about, guys. It's the day after Christmas. Sports. Sports is supposed to bring us something. Sports is supposed to allow us to get away from everything. And I remember that in 1990, I was without a job at the time, and I was searching for something. And I remember getting home. I called my mother as soon as I got home, and I said, Mom, Fernando Valenzuela just threw a no-hitter. I couldn't believe it. It was so exciting. It was the most amazing thing in my life. And she said, did you forget everything for 3 hours? I said, yeah. And she said, that's what sports is supposed to be about, where you can forget everything that's happening to you. Don't have to worry about what's going on at home, at work, life. You can go in and appreciate the moment. And I will forever be indebted to Fernando Valenzuela, the Dodgers, and even the Cardinals that day. Because for 3 hours, baseball was life. And I would gladly go back to that moment whenever I can, whenever I feel sad. It was truly a miraculous moment as far as sports. But as I readily acknowledge, it was a sport moment. And I wish I could capture that moment again. And that's why we always admire the champions, because we always wish we could be what they are. And that's why we love sports, and that's why we're stupid. Because we will forgive our sports players unless they take steroids. Then we'll never forget them. I got a little emotional there, didn't I? Sorry, big dog. Let's see. I hear you. I appreciate that, Lenny. Yeah. You know what? Sports is a getaway. I had a chance to play school. I had a chance to play it after. And it always irked me that there were guys that were better than me and they never took it seriously. Bust my behind to be on not my rotisserie team, but my high school varsity team, and I had to play after. You know what? This is about the first time and only time I'm going to say it. I wasn't a very good pitcher. That's why I was number 9 on a 9-man squad. I threw everything just to stay alive. But I was good at first base. I handled that short hop better than anyone. Well, except better than Steve Garvey.
Who should be in the Hall of Fame? But
screw you. You can go to hell.
Don't get me started on that one.
All right. Well, maybe now knowing what's going on in sports, maybe he should be in the Hall of Fame. You know what? I was proud of the fact that when all the turmoil was going on for our team, for the 5 years I played with them, I was the only one that played every inning of every game, because I was at first base, and I made those out. And I made some damn great short hop. And I was in there. I had the other guys telling me, you're that son of a bitch that we hated. You're a cool guy. We can't hate you. You've stolen so many hits from us. Said, well, you know what? I'm just happy. And that was my time in the sun. And it was good. But anyway, I got a little emotional there. I do apologize. But yes, guys, sports is our getaway. And that's why we do this, because we love sports. We love talking about it. We love making fun of it. And we hate all those guys that are so talented and throw it away. So Steve Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy, whoever the hell you are, it's about tradition. And Lenny can tell us even more about it. Remember, guys, Monday, the first Monday in April used to be opening day for baseball. No matter what would happen, the first Monday in April was always a start. The last Sunday in January was always a Super Bowl. There are just some things that will always happen.
And now it's changed.
Thanksgiving was always the Dallas Cowboys.
Always.
Now it's Detroit. Well, they, yeah, it still plays.
Yeah.
But mainly everybody thinks of Detroit now.
Yeah, well, they always lose.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving always comes for every team that plays Detroit. There were some other traditions. In Christmas.
Well, now it's the Lakers. Lakers and Celtics play on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
The last 7 years in a row.
Yep. And then New Year's Day was the Rose Parade and the Rose Bowl.
And then the Rose Bowl. Now it's the Rose Parade, and you have to wait 3-4 days for the Rose Bowl.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Stan Van Gundy, you who want to take out Christmas and basketball, you can go to hell. And you know what, Stan? This is just for you.
You have obviously mistaken me for someone who gives a damn.
Well, actually, I do. I do. I do give a damn. But you, Stan Van Gundy, this is for you.
Did you eat paint chips when you were a kid?
Okay.
You should ask his brother. His brother would probably say yes.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you in the chat room. Here we go. You're live, Lenny. You're on with us. Sorry about that, brother. Go ahead.
No, no big deal. One more second. I couldn't resist. You know, when you're talking about how we use sports as an escape. So just let me just briefly say this little true story, which will never be topped as far as I'm concerned. The first year I did a podcast on the from my website, I got a call from a regular listener who called me to thank me. And he said he was going in for exploratory surgery, thought that you know, cancer was an issue. And he told me that for a half hour every day, he kind of forgets his troubles. And I was, of course, so deeply touched that it was just amazing. We later became very good friends. He called a couple of days later, and he responded to something that I did on a show. In the middle of a show, I just went on a rant and I said, if you have Jarrett Wright on your fantasy baseball team, you're an idiot. And I went to help people, and I said, okay, stand up, turn counterclockwise 3 times, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Oh, please, by next Thursday night, help me get rid of Jarrett Wright. And I'm telling you, it just came out of nowhere that I said that. It could have been Elvis Presley's name that I said. Sure enough, Jarrett Wright goes down, never to be heard from again. Never. So this guy calls me up again. This is unbelievable. He says, I have Ken Griffey Jr. What can you do for me? Now, if you remember a couple of years ago, Griffey had a little fight with his kids. They were wrestling, and he sat out the beginning of the year, and he was awful when he came back. I said to him, okay, oh, please, in a jiffy, help me get rid of Ken Griffey. He had diverticulitis in 2 days. So the guy says to me, he says, well, I'm not going to be able to call you for a while. I'm having surgery, and you know, as I said, I'm worried about cancer. And I said to him, when's the surgery? He said, it's May 7th. I said to the guy, well, that's my birthday, and you know my power. Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. I have the power to get rid of Jarrett Wright and Ken Griffey Jr. in a matter of days, as you suggested. Well, then you know what I can do. Don't worry about it. He says to me, you know something? For the first time, I have confidence. I'm not even worried anymore. And that's a true story, Lenny. And he said, thank you. He had his surgery on my birthday, and he's fine. Nothing will ever top that. He and I are now still very close friends. And he says, that was a moment as if I was on a plane, and you're on a plane with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and even though you have a fear of flying, at that moment, you're not worried at all. Well, he had the same kind of feeling. He says, Lenny Melnick, the guy who with this unbelievable power says to me, you'll be fine because it's on my birthday. I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry. And I felt it, he said. Never can that be topped. Never. So you talk about how you lose yourself in sports and other things that you have a passion for. Well, there you go. That, to me, is a story that will never be beaten. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Wow, Lenny, thank you.
Incredible story.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very true.
Thank you,
and I give you my word. It's a true story. Speak to you later.
Well,
Lenny, we believe you. There's no doubt in our minds.
I'll tell you something. It's hard to believe. Sometimes I look back at it and I say, all right, what really happened? You know what? That's what happened. So, you know, just too hard to believe. But anyway, thanks, guys. I'll speak to you later.
Oh,
at the
well,
next
you,
thought,
Lenny.
I will call again. How's that? All right, goodbye.
Okay.
But believe me, you don't want to hear my next thought because that'll take it right off the air. Anyway, I'll speak to you later.
Thank you, Lenny. Well, guys, this is why we always play. Oh, and as you know or don't know, for our callers, we play music for you guys as you come on with it for time. But I was always just feeling how you guys are. And it's funny. It just happens. We have a regular troupe here, dare we say, a regular troupe. And depending on what you guys say and what you guys do, we always come up with music for you guys. Obviously, we have the one for Superman, which is our own Lenny. We have Tim the Cloud, who is, he loved it. He wanted the Lion King, but we gave him, which is the one again?
Dudley
Do-Right. Of course, Raimi gets YMCA, but this is one of the few programs, guys. You call in, and we play the music for you. We have Mass Intro for Saul, who I know is still with us. And I do apologize. He's still live with us. I know we'll bring him back in a moment, but it's true. That's why I'm not telling the story right now, guys, because I cannot top that story by Lenny Melnick. It's brutal.
The song, of course, is London is Calling.
I have to say, London is one of my favorite ones because it represents anarchy. And if you know who and what I am not for anarchy. It's a great song. For years, when I was on that very same baseball team, I took my boombox and I took all my CDs and my music, and I got the idea from, again, a baseball game. It was in the late 80s when the Toronto Blue Jays were at the Anaheim Angels, and every time Junior Felix, who later came to the Angels, maybe they were trying to give him a hint or something, was with the Blue Jays, every time he would make a catch, a good play, at Anaheim, mind you, they would play Felix the Cat. I thought that was kind of funny, you know, Junior Felix or whatever. I got the idea of tailoring music, and I chose music for everyone on our team. And knew what I could be. You know, I mean, what the hell am I going to play for myself? You know, what does God make? Anyway, so I was over at first base to receive a throw during practice. And, you know, I'm a pretty tall guy. I have 6 feet, you know, and that's my height. And, you know, I was ready to receive a throw, and you know I'm acting this out, so I apologize if I'm coming in and out. But I knew Arnoldo was at short. All of his throws would sail high. So I'd gone down a little bit to get ready to jump up, and there it is. Sure enough, he throws it from short, and it's sailing. So I shoot up with my left arm to catch it. I jump up, and I make the catch during practice. And Ricky, who was on the other side, said, "Gadget!" You know, because Inspector Gadget's arm shot up, and you know, I have very long arms.
Yes, you do.
And it stuck to play Inspector Gadget for me, and I have it here from time to time, and it just stuck. My music, if anything, would have to be Inspector Gadget. I didn't choose it. It was chosen for me, and that's the way it works, guys, because it's Christmas, we do it, and we just have a good time. That was a funnier moment. That was during practice. There was another moment that I had during practice where I had arrived a bit late. I never arrived late to practice. And Gilbert, our team coach, is hitting the batting practice, and I guess he was unhappy with the other guys. Rod, go to first. I tell him, like, where in the hell else am I going to go? That's what I play. Don't give me lip. You might get hit. Yeah, whatever. So I'm over to first, and we're playing the grass field, and he hits the ball to me. And for the first time and only time in my whole life, dude, I went down for the ball. I did everything right, and the freaking ball found a hole, went over my glove. Bam! Nailed me in the shin. Oh, my God. That was one of the most painful things of my life. I'm like, oh, God, I couldn't walk. I was done. I was there for 1 minute. Gilbert nailed me. What a bastard.
Speaking of painful.
Yes.
Next time you stand up, can you button up your pajamas?
Oh, you pig. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, now you turn around.
That was embarrassing. At least I had my thermals on. You pig. Why the hell did you say that on air? Why the hell did you say that on air?
Salt laugh.
Oh, God. Yes, Saul? I know you're
yes.
Oh, God. My pajamas were actually unbuttoned. Dude, up here. I'm up here.
Well, you were standing up when I...
Thank God my thermals were on. Thank God. Thank God I really had underwear on.
Yes, thank God.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's embarrassing. I guess I'm just a little too fat now, big dog anymore. So anyway. Oh, that was bad. So anyway, I couldn't walk. I had my leg up on Thursday and, on Friday and Saturday.
Did you get home?
It just hurt. I couldn't walk. But on Sunday, I drug my butt out there. I couldn't move. Oh, no, wait. I played Friday night game. I played a Friday night game with them, and it was funny. This is probably one of the funnier moments of my life. I came up, you know, and it was so funny because I'm coming up, and, you know, I'm batting number 9 on the team, but I'm taller than all those other little gang members. I'm a big guy, and they always wonder, why the hell does he hit 9? Doesn't matter. Ball 1, ball 2, ball 3, ball 4. I walk over, and it's obvious I've got a freaking limp. I can't walk. When I go over to first, and right there, I'm on first, right? I take a step. One step. And the pitcher throws over. I'm like, what the hell? That was stupid, guys. I'm not kidding. And then again, I took one step off the back, and he throws over again. What the hell are you doing? I have no lead. So fine. Well, the next guy was our...
See, you were so feared as a base runner, but one step caused it.
What? Okay, this is embarrassing. Remember, I hit number 9. Our leadoff guy comes up. First pitch, bam, nails it off the wall, man. I turn around and it's off the wall. And I barely get to second.
So bad.
I couldn't walk. All right, and I'm like, oh, God, this guy could have gotten a triple on him, and all he gets is a huge, loud single. Okay, no problem. I'm like, all right, well, that's one. The second guy comes up. Bam! Off the wall.
And you barely go to
third. And I'm barely getting to third. I'm like, oh, God, I've stolen extra bases from these guys. I'm just dying. And then, you know, the next guy comes up, and he says, screw this. Bam! He hit a grand slam.
There you go. You didn't have to worry about running.
He didn't want to get a single out of it. That was a true story, guys. I felt so bad. I mean, we killed the opposing team, but oh my God, I'll never forget that. I mean, that, you know, our leadoff hitter, I forget what his name was, he truly did. I mean, he hammered it all. I mean, he hit it, I turned around, the ball was bouncing back. He just nailed it, and I barely got in a second. I couldn't look.
You didn't want to look him in the eye.
I couldn't look towards first base. And then the next guy happened off the left of the wall. Oh, God, that hurt. I mean, it really does hurt. I was thinking about it. And like I said, I think John Aguilar was batting third. He said, screw you. I can hit it out. And he said, I just wanted to make it easy for you, pal. That way you wouldn't steal any bases from everyone. Oh, man. How bad. Here we go. He got another spot.
Also, we'd like to welcome into the chat room, Tim. Good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Yes, good morning.
Merry Christmas. Hopefully, you're keeping warm up in the green up there.
And very quickly, before I go to Lenny, I want to welcome Tim because this is his.
There goes Spidey Gillisnow to save the frozen dog.
Save the storekeeper.
And he is, he saved the day.
Our very own Dudley Do-Right, Tim McLeod. Hey, Lenny, what's up?
You know, I just heard you authenticate the fact that you were telling the truth on the story you just told. I just want to tell you, in the spirit of the holidays and everything, my two stories that I told you before, I was just making them up.
He was not.
No, you were not.
Yeah. You know, I just want, in the spirit of truth, yeah, I just made him up. So I'll speak to you later. I feel very bad. So long, guys.
Yeah. Oh, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So here it is. He tells us, Tim's right, lady.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Guys, leave the damn horse alone, you wench.
And he also adds that he may receive a foot of snow in the last 24 hours and more is coming.
Yeah. Tim was with us on Thursday night.
Yeah, he was.
And it seemed he had a little bit too much to drink, huh?
Well, you know, he was with the in-laws. He was with the family, so.
Truly like Chevy Chase's movie, Christmas Vacation, huh?
You know, liquid courage there.
Oh, liquid courage, yeah. If you guys have another sports story to tell us, stories that have been told and were told to us, absolutely indelible. We'll be with us. That's what sports is all about, guys. Sports is about sharing the moment and getting away from everything.
And we, the two of us, had that in a baseball game one summer. What was it, 5-6 years ago? The perfect night.
That was 10 years ago.
That's long ago.
That's when the field tickets were.
Oh yeah, when we could
afford them.
Yeah.
I think it was before Fox bought them out.
Yeah, It was a July summer night, and we decided to go to a game.
It was maybe the late 90s or – no, the late 80s, early 90s. Jess Eckersley was the reliever.
Yeah, there he was. And he ruined our perfect night.
And it was the pitcher. Who was the reliever from the Dodgers? Tim Worrell?
Tim Worrell.
Or Todd Worrell?
One of the Worrells.
One of those idiots.
Yeah, they blew it for us.
It was a perfect night.
It was a perfect
night. Sleeve, cold, no heat, no nothing.
It was about 78, maybe 75 right there. It was just a perfect night. We were on the right field. We were out in first and right field.
Yeah, we were between the pole and the dugout.
Yeah.
On the right field side.
And
I always wanted that side so we could see this,
the
scoreboard.
And right night, we had great conversation. It was a great game.
Fans
are great. It was a great game. The Dodgers were winning until about the eighth inning.
Bring in their reliever.
They bring in Worrell. He gives the Dodgers were up by two. And he puts up three runs. Like, oh, great. You know, they're battling the bat, and all of a sudden, in the ninth inning, their closer, Dennis Eckersley, we knew it was, as soon as we saw him coming, we're like, oh, shit, that's it. It's over. He was ignited. But it was a perfect night.
Like three pitches.
Three pitches, they were done. But it was a great night. I mean, we had great conversations. As I said, it was a perfect night.
The fans around us were just talking it up. Dodgers were winning.
Yep.
And they blew it in the top of the ninth. Oh, God, that hurt. That just hurt. And then Eckersley comes in. Three pitches. I exaggerate, but it was.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't even think he did his nine pitches. I think it was probably seven or so.
Eight innings of phenomenal, enjoyable ball. And then it was over.
Not that far back.
I did meet Dave Stewart and Tom Stewart.
And you know, Dave Stewart, just real quick, when he's such a big, imposing man, he has the highest
pussiest voice.
The mouthiest voice.
Yeah. I went up to ask those guys for their autographs, and it was the Dodgers had their players throughout the stadium.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and their autograph. But the thing was, I forget that I actually did get Ferguson Jenkins' autograph.
Really?
Cubs were leaving, and the old way in Dodger Stadium is the players would come out of the dugout to the team bus that was on the field, and they would just drive off. And it was obviously a Sunday game, and it could be just a Monday holiday. I don't know. I was rather small. I was under 10 years old. And they were letting the kids go. And the Cubs were coming into the stands after the game was over, and this gentleman comes up, recognizes them, and says, "May I have your autograph?" And I only had the Dodger scorebook, and he said, "Why, of course." Signed it, and I didn't know. And then another guy came up, "Oh, sure, I'll sign it." Couldn't tell by the signature. I'm like, "Oh, what the hell?" So whatever. And then the light came up, and I could tell it had an F and it had a J, but he was a big gentleman, very nice gentleman, because he reached out to me and said, "Would you like my autograph?" I said, "Yeah." "I don't know who the hell you are, but I want your autograph."
Mm-hmm.
And he signed it, and he put his number on there. And after, I was looking for the names, and I said, "Ferguson Jenkins, I know this guy. This is 1986. They're losers. They had a decent pitcher."
Yeah.
"He's a pitcher. Ferguson Jenkins. Wow. Do you want my autograph?" "Yeah." And I'll never forget this moment. Gary Ward. "You dumb bastard." He was standing outside Anaheim. I went up to him. He was a 1985. I knew who he was, and I went up. And I said, "Mr. Ward, may I have your autograph?" "No, not this time."
I knew who you were, you asshole. No one. I went up to you, and that was it. I was a kid, and I could recognize everyone. That same year, I got Dick Schofield. He walked out, and no one recognized him. Mr. Schofield, autograph. You signed my book. Tullison, who was also a Ranger, came over to the Yankees. I saw him walk out. I know him. Mr. Tullison, may I have your autograph? Why, of course. He gave it to me. And all these other guys. One of the funnier moments I had was outside of Anaheim was when Dave Winfield walked out, and I felt bad for him. All the fans mobbed him, and they were really mobbing him. There was no security, no nothing. And all of a sudden, he says, look, there's Don Mattingly. That was funny. No one looked because they wanted his autograph. We all knew who Don Mattingly was, and he was great, but that was hilarious. I like Dave Winfield. He was nice, but I thought the fans would be an asshole because it didn't on him. And it was just one of those, hey, it's all about sports. And nice on Fergie, you're a mind going, you know. Hey, mom, behind. I always admired him. Sports, guys, is what we do to get away. I mean, there are some other plays I can remember with football. Because of my friend who passed away some years ago, Arturo Soto, because of him, I watched college football. And because of him, I saw that Saturday game, the Hail Mary pass from Doug Flutie to Phelan. I saw it. I couldn't believe it. Because of him, I saw that game. Because of him, I saw the playoff game where the Seahawks were playing some other team. They were shutting down Steve Largent, their tight they went for 57 minutes with him not catching a pass. And he had some consecutive streak thing going on. They went into him deep. Dave Craig, I think it was, because I am the scorekeeper and I remember these names. He went deep to him, caught a pass for 16 yards, and then they went again, and it turned out to be a question. Dave Craig, Steve Largent, had been shut down for 57 minutes, caught a 16-yard pass. Would you go down the line or beat Steve Largent? I'm like, I know that! I'm the only idiot that! And I chose B. And what did I win? I don't know. No. The point is that it was a great moment in sports. I've seen many, many things, guys. I saw the comeback victory last year in the Super Bowl. When Momo, the great Buddha here on Blog Talk Radio, said, the great Momo says it's over, and I just said, it's not over. There's still a chance. And Roethlisberger drove downfield and won, unbelievably. And I heard the great Lenny Melnick, they'll do that game. So it was great. I don't know if you guys have any ideas. We only have about 3 minutes left. I think it's been great. For those of you that missed it, my personal greatest moment was mentioned on air earlier by ESPN 1420. Wow, he said his greatest sports moment was the dream of having a Jennifer Aniston on top of him, or no, laying on him, and having Roger Noriega in the background on the radio. That was his greatest sports moment. And you know what? Sorry, Fernando. That is my greatest sports moment, too. ESPN 1420, I love you, man. Go ahead, Big Dog. Any last thoughts?
No, I was just going to mention, like when you got autographs when you were younger. I mean, it was so different back then where you could actually approach the players and the players actually came out. You know, I remember that the times when I was, after the basketball game, you'd wait by the tunnel and the players were actually parked across the street or parked in the parking lot.
I remember when you took me there.
Yeah, and you could walk down there. I mean,
they were tall.
I met Kareem twice. Unfortunately, didn't get any autographs. He didn't. His thing was he didn't like giving autographs. He felt a handshake was more personable than giving an autograph. So, yeah.
But didn't he stop to talk to you?
Oh, yeah, he stopped. He asked him for an autograph, and he says, I don't give autographs, but I get handshakes. Yeah. Handshakes are a more personable thing to a fan.
Hell yeah.
I was disappointed because I didn't get an autograph, but hey, the fact that was great, and I remember against the Denver Nuggets back in the day, with Alex English. I was walking across because you used to have to park in Hollywood Park. There was never enough. And he was walking to park in Hollywood Park. So I approached him and got his autograph and, a couple of minutes, telling him, great game, too bad you guys lost, but
sorry.
I go, kind of sorry. I'm of course glad the Lakers won. I go, but you had a great game. I go, you're always one of the best guys around, And you were able to do that back then. You can, especially with some of the big superstars, with the entourage they had and so on and so forth, because the fans are unruly now. A lot of fans, you know, like they just bum rush them, you know. And, you know, those guys can get hurt now. People are crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be nice to be able to go back to that day, you know, those times again. But, of course, you know, you can't go back. But who knows? But, I mean, you know, sports been great. As you said, it's a great, you know, to forget what's going on in real life. You know, it'd be nice to get away for a couple hours and think that way.
It was not a sports moment for me, but one of the best moments that I ever had was in that same year, a low light of mine in 1990, when the Big Dog called me up and took me to go see Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sports moment, but one of the greatest moments I ever had in my life. And that's because of you, Big Dog. We love you all, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. See you. Have a good weekend.